The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
To go back to our founders once again, they sacrificed it all for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Affordable Care Act is about a healthier life, the liberty to pursue your happiness. That's solid policy, and that is the mandate is central to that.
The Bugs Bunny of politics, none other than Madam Pelosi. Every time she speaks, we get out the old Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny soundtrack to go with it. She's now, I guess, implying that George Washington's entire mandate was to pass socialized medicine. I suppose she means that Benjamin Franklin laid awake at night, dreaming of the day that a young man of African descent would become president and pass socialized medicine so people could live as they do in Cuba. That's all, folks. Now, today we're going to talk about reparations and my brother's keeper, the policy that Obama put in place where white males need not apply. Yes, maybe you missed it yesterday, but we've been swamped with mail on these subjects, and so again, we're going to bring them into the fold. You see, in the nation of Jamaica, there are troublemakers who are demanding reparations from Britain and Holland for the years of slavery. This is, of course, being pushed by the communist left as part of their income redistribution scam. They tried global warming. That didn't work. They changed it to, what do they call it, changing in weather, weather change. I don't know what they call it now, the scam artists. So now they're going on to reparations in Jamaica out of the UN to see if they can rob the middle class of their hard-earned dollars. And we're going to talk again about reparations for African Americans because that's where we live, is in America. And I'm going to again tell you that this is the most outrageous thing I've heard in my current incarnation as a talk show host. Because if you want someone to sue, why don't you sue the Arabs who sold their the people into slavery through with the help of the African tribal leaders who've been practicing slavery for 1,400 years? Why not go to Saudi Arabia, to Kuwait, and the other nations in the Middle East and say, look, you're the descendants of those who dealt in slaves. We want money from you. See how far you get with this in Saudi Arabia. Why don't you send High Jackson over to Kuwait or Saudi Arabia? Or maybe Sharpton can take time off from visiting the White House to be an emissary to Saudi Arabia. See how the Arab sheiks treat that street hustler. See if they'll give him a shakedown job. I kind of doubt it. You see, this is insane. How many generations do you want to go back on this reparations deal? Can the Celtic peoples of Britain, for example, sue the Dutch for the invasions of the Angles and the Saxons? I mean, that's where the words Anglo-Saxon come from. So should the Celts sue the Dutch for the invasions of the Saxons and the Angles? Can the French sue the Italians for Julius Caesar's invasion of Gaul? Can the Chinese sue the Mongolians for Genghis Khan's onslaught? Can the smaller Indian tribes of central Mexico sue the descendants of the Aztecs for the tens of thousands of murder victims at the hands of Aztec priests when they cut their hearts out and threw them down the pyramids? Where does the search for free handouts in the guise of reparations end? You have to understand something. All reparations are a shakedown. They're being run by grifters and con artists, and they should be told to drop you-know-what. The phone number here is 855-407-282. There's another soundbite you must hear. Over the weekend, while you skied on the global warming snow, over the weekend, while you shivered and ran your furnaces to fight global warming for John Kerry, over the weekend, while your spine was chilled by the cold outside, baby, in order to study up on your global warming data that came in over the networks, our President Barack Obama went before some idiot in the media named Charles Barkley, who's about as intelligent as you can possibly expect in the media today. Well, you got to hear clip. Is it clip 12? Play 12 so the people can hear it.
You have a really exciting initiative coming up called My Brother's Keeper. Explain it, because when you explain it to me, it sounds amazing, but I'd like to hear from you.
We're going to pull together private philanthropists, foundations, working with governors and mayors and churches and nonprofits, and we're just going to focus on young men of color. And find ways in which we can create more pathways to success for them.
So only young men of color, that would include African Americans and Hispanics. White boys who are poor need not apply in Obama's America. They don't fit in. They go to the back of the bus. How do you feel about Barack Obama going on some dummy show who is working for the government now and says to him, "Ooh, can you explain your great program, My Brother's Keeper, Mr. Stalin?" And Mr. Stalin says to him, "Oh, yes, oh, yeah, we're going to focus on young men of color." And so in other words, if you're pink, you have no color. You're invisible. You are no longer a man. If you're a poor white boy, you don't live in Obama's America. Whether you like this or not, that's your president. Don't blame me. Blame him. If you're outraged by what I'm telling you, I can't help you. You elected him, not me. I wrote two books about him. Trickle what? You don't remember anymore. Well, I'll have to read you the titles, since many of you are new listeners. My last two big successes were Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. Both New York Times bestsellers, whether you want to know it or not, that's who I am. I tried to warn you what was coming, but you didn't want to listen to me. So if you want to comment on reparations of My Brother's Keeper, where white boys need not apply, the phone number is 855-407-282. And again, I extend this invitation to the president, as I did a Monday ago, 10 days ago, following the O'Reilly interview with him, and it was 10 questions that O'Reilly didn't ask the president. I would welcome sitting down with President Obama over a greasy Chinese meal in San Francisco in my favorite restaurant. No cameras, no notes, no microphones, just shrimp and Napa cabbage, greasy dumplings, tables that you need a food handler to... But the food is amazing. And there are 10 questions that I would ask the president, because I want to put aside the enmity and the distrust that this man has created in this nation. He is the least available president in American history, the least trustworthy, the one that 71% of Obama voters regret they voted for. So I mean that. I would like to sit down with him. Now, here's some good news for those of you who bet on Michael Savage. As you well know, I'm new to certain markets on the great Cumulus stations, where my fabulous colleague, the great American, Sean Hannity, was thrown off because of his sterling work. And the ratings finally came in at the end of January. We just got some of them today. I can't give you the numbers, but Savage beat Hannity in New York on WABC by about 50%. I beat him in Dallas on WBAP by about 40%. I beat him in Chicago on WLS by about 150%. I beat him in San Francisco by about 40% or 40% on KSFO. And so something is happening here. And I'm not going to put him down, because he put himself down by attacking my age and attacking my higher education, which was idiotic of him. And here's what I said. There's an article coming out tonight or tomorrow in Politico on this story. And I really don't know what they're going to write, to be honest with you. I have no idea what they're going to write. And it's been said that Politico, which is a left-wing website, wants to pit conservatives against each other. And so I said to a friend of mine who said that, he said, "Don't fall in the trap. They're just trying to pit conservatives against each other." I said, "Oh, you mean we're not against each other now? Where every other day they attack me for one reason or another? You mean they're sterling great Americans for attacking my age and my higher education? Who are you kidding?" So here's what I said. It's one paragraph, then we'll move on. I said this: Sean never had any real competition until I moved into drive time. Radio, even political radio, needs to be more versatile to capture and retain listeners. Sean, being a Republican lifer, has marginalized himself. His audience has discovered what my audience has come to expect over the past 20 years, and which is this: Obama and Congress are not the sun, the moon, and the stars. There are galaxies of subjects out there. My higher education and homespun humor, bashed by Hannity, apparently appeals to the masses. Period. End of story. You can't argue with the results. That's it. You can spin it any way you want. So him and his lawyer minions, you know, they can say what they want. Everyone in the business now knows the truth. And it's only going to get bigger. As long as I'm on the radio, people are going to listen to me. They're going to find out what I have to offer, and they're going to come into this store. They're coming into this revival tent. And there's a reason for it. You know, I tune in and out of other shows. I'm appalled. Even Fox News has stopped covering hard news. I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand why they're so afraid of Obama. I know he's dangerous. I know he's acting demonically. And I know that there's a great deal of fear out of this man, emanating from this man. I get it. I share those fears. I lay awake at night fearing him. That's to be set on the table. He's the most powerful man in the world. If he would waste the nation, what chance does one man have in trying to speak about the truth? Well, I don't know what chance I have. All I know is that each day is another day, and each day is a miracle, and that's the end of it. So if you want to talk about any of these three topics, the phone number is 855-407-282. It's now 16 minutes after the hour. Charlene on WJR in Detroit, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Can we talk? I think that that reparations should be paid to the American blacks by the slaveholders, the descendants of the former slaveholders.
But okay, hold it. So you believe there should be reparations paid. What about going to the Arabs who traded in the slaves?
Sure, why not? They got a lot of money.
And why not go to the African tribal leaders who actually rounded up the poor people and committed them to chains and a life of hell? Why not go to the descendants of the African tribal leaders? I'm sure they're the richest people in Africa today.
Well, sure. The Democrats wanted slavery. They fought to keep out of the Constitution, outlawing slavery. They fought to...
Charlene, should all African Americans be given reparations? You mean even Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama? They're owed reparations too. They suffered,
but only from the Democrat Party, since it was a Democrat Party.
No, I'm saying, but should Oprah Winfrey be given reparations because she suffered from slavery?
Well, she should have to pay reparations and get reparations. She should pay it because she's a Democrat, and she should get it because she suffered slavery.
Uh-huh. And what about Obama? Should he be given reparations because he's suffering as president of the United States?
Sure. Well, he's a Democrat, so he has to pay reparations, and he also gets reparations.
Well, why should every black get reparations? Has any living black actually experienced slavery?
Pardon me?
Well, I'll repeat it in case you didn't hear it. I guess it went through your ears. Has any living black person in this country actually lived through slavery?
Yes, but that's not the reasoning. The reasoning is that since they are descendants of slaves, they should get reparations. So since the former slaveholders...
Whoa. You're just making a big jump there. You mean you go back 160 years now? And what, every black person is a victim now?
Yes, and every descendant of a black Democratic a slaveholder should have to pay since it was their...
Well, should the Celtic peoples of Britain sue the Dutch for the invasions of the Angles and Saxons?
Well, but that's different. See, we're just talking about...
Whoa. Why is that different? Tell me why that's different.
Reparations.
Why shouldn't the French sue the Italians for Julius Caesar's invasion of Gaul? It's just a matter of time. You're willing to go back six generations. So why not go back 60 generations?
But that's irrelevant because if it was...
No, it's not irrelevant. You're saying that we should pay black people reparations, even though it occurred 160 years ago, and there's not an individual alive today in America who suffered this inhumane and abhorrent institution.
Only Democrats should have to pay it, since they were the ones that promoted slavery and refused to...
Yeah, but that's kind of ludicrous, because you know not every Democrat today, you know, would support slavery. And I know you're trying to make an argument, but I don't think it holds water, Charlene. And this is a very dangerous subject. And it's dangerous because it's being offered by lawyers from England who are going to capitalize on this. It's being bandied about every time you hear a speech about inequality and the poor. What they're trying to do is set you up to steal from the middle class to give to the lawyers. It's that simple. 855-400-7282 is my phone number. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Could you play East Coast? Just before the break, I need to hear my mind's going now. The insanity is getting to me. It finally seeped through my head. Just play a little Beach Boys and take a break. I need to hear a California Girls, please. I must have a touch of music because I can't take another minute of reality.
Those girls are hip, I really dig those.
Okay, I can breathe. Okay, I got a break ahead.
And the southern girls with the way they talk.
on the air, online, and on iHeart.com. We are Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Little Sam Cooke, I know you, to lighten the burden of the savage audience. Soothe the savage beast, the little Sam Cooke. Honest you do. Yeah, I read that the president's a TV nut, like I am. He likes many of the same shows I do, probably for the opposite reasons. Like, for example, he's a big fan of Homeland, right? I wonder why he's watching it with such interest. I mean, I'm watching it to wonder who were the spies pretending to be patriots in our government. He's probably watching it for, well, whatever, you figure it out. And there we are, talking about reparations. Why? Did I bring it up out of the blue? Did I bring it up just to shock you? No. No. Jamaica, the nation. Not where I was living when I was a youth. Jamaica High School area, no. Jamaica is going to sue Britain and Holland, demanding reparations for the descendants of slaves. And we're hearing the same rumblings here in America all over again. This was big in the year 2000, 2001. It was dropped. There were lawsuits brought. By the way, the Supreme Court rejected them, saying they don't have legal standing, incidentally. But it's coming again because I can hear the rumblings, and I am Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts in radio. Make no mistake about it, if you know your mythology. Michael Savage is Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts. I climb the tallest mast and I see the farthest. And all this talk about inequality from Blasio to Blathero to Lathero is going to lead to a talk about reparations, and the hustlers will be out there screaming from the rooftops.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
If you have a really exciting initiative coming up called My Brother's Keeper, explain it, because when they're explaining it to me, it sounds amazing, but I'd like to hear it from you.
We're going to pull together private philanthropists, foundations, working with governors and mayors and churches and nonprofits.
Wow.
We're just going to focus on young men of color and find ways in which we can create more pathways to success for them.
So if you're a white man, you need not apply in Obama's America. In the future of America, if you're a poor white man, you have no place in his America. You go to the back of the bus. Now, first of all, what he said is patently illegal. It's immoral and it's fattening. It's incomprehensible that a president would have such poor judgment as to say that there's going to be a program for young men of color and exclude white people. But we have to play it because I want you to know what's going on behind the scenes. That's my job. By the way, we've got two new ratings. Two new markets just came in a minute ago. Me versus you-know-who, again. There's no vitriol in this. It's just the numbers don't lie. It's the first month. Washington, D.C. on WMAL, I have a 2.6 share. He on an unknown station has a 0.0 share, unrated. In Detroit, incredible market, by the way, WJR, which is a new market for me. I have a 2.1 share to old wallbanger 0.4. I believe those are the numbers. I'm not 100% sure. These are alleged numbers. I'm not supposed to even have them, but they're leaking. They're going to leak out to the media anyway, so forgive me. But, hey, look, numbers are the name of the game for everyone in the media, whether it's late-night television, whether it's news shows, whether it's Fox versus CNN or MSNBC. Everyone's, if they didn't have ratings, they wouldn't be in business, and they'd sell no ads. So it's the same for me. And I've worked 20 years for what I have right now. 20 years I waited for this. This is my last hurrah. And for me to be attacked for my age is really embarrassing for a man who considers himself such a wonderful conservative. Attacked me for my age and called me old? All right, so I'm an old man. Yeah, I'm a real old man. I can run rings around them. That's all. Now let's move on. No more about him. No more about the chaos in radio for now. Maybe a little later we'll do it again. When the vitriol hits me. But I want to go back to the story with Barack Obama. Do you have the Charles Barkley interview that I did with him where he and I got into an argument many years ago. We're going to find that for you. Look where this president goes. He goes to a basketball player to introduce an initiative where white boys need not apply. It's really sickening. It really is. I mean, it's really sickening, to be honest with you. I could see the president saying, look, we want to give poor people a heads up, you know, start in life. And it doesn't matter what your race is, your religion, or your creed. No one knows what creed means, but your race, religion, or creed doesn't matter. And if you're poor and your parents don't have money, you have no money, we're going to help you. Good. I'd be 100% for that. How can you exclude a whole race without being a racist? How? Okay, that's number one. Then the reparations job is another story. So I got great callers now. I mean, it's so primed right now that the engine's about to explode. So the engine of a caller's, the caller base on that, the engine called the caller base is right now, it's just revving now, and it's not in gear. And I'm about to put it in first gear now with callers. Tyler on WBAP. WBAP. Yes, it's Pumbaa. Tyler, you're on the Savage Nation.
Afternoon, Dr. Savage.
Top of the morning, top of the afternoon to you. What's on your mind?
I wanted to give you the perspective of one of the new underclassmen, the millennial white conservative, for why you're shellacking Hannity in the ratings. I think it has a lot to do with content. You know, I used to always turn the channel away from Hannity after Rush was over, and I think it's just because Hannity, you know, we always kind of felt put on, like he was saying things that he thought conservatives may want to hear. I think, you know, your opinion is just that, and I think it just happens to be conservative. So we're glad to have you here in Dallas.
Yeah, well, I'm a Texan, I think, inside. On the outside, I'm not. On the outside, I've lived in California since 1974, but I don't have any representation here. I have no congressmen, and I have no senators that I can turn to. It's a nation that's an embarrassment. This state of California is an embarrassment to the word democracy. There is no representation for up to 50% of the people in this state. None whatsoever. We got two Harridans who have copped the seats and held on to them for so many years nobody even knows how this could be going on. We know how it's going on. Illegal aliens put them in power. Illegal aliens keep them in power. Illegal aliens are there mainstay. Illegal aliens are the bread and butter of Feinstein and Baxter. WJR in Detroit. Jody, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. This is Jody from Dryden, Michigan. I was listening to you yesterday. I'm also new to your program. And you had made the comment that there weren't any people alive in America anymore that used to own slaves. Well, darling, I'm here to correct you, because I am one of a family that still has living relatives that, yes, we did own slaves at one time in Kentucky, in a little town called Russellville, Kentucky, and also Harlan County, Kentucky. And I was born and raised in Clarkston, Michigan. It's like the whitest town in America, all right? And there was two families that also went to school with me, and they were the Johnsons and the Whites. And Marky Johnson used to sit behind me in fifth grade. Now, fifth grade is what, 10 years of age? So he asked me one day if he could borrow my crayons because he didn't have any. And so I said, sure, because my parents taught me how to share. So I turned around, I gave him my crayons. I was like, Marky, when you're done, tap me on the shoulder before class dismisses. I'll get my crayons. We can go home on the bus. 15 minutes before class is over, nothing out of Mark. So I turn around and look behind me to see if he's putting my crayons back in the box to return them to me.
Now, I'm sure you're leading up to a discussion of slavery, aren't you, and reparations?
Pardon me?
Are you leading up to a discussion of reparations or Crayola?
Because the simple fact that I want to make to you and the woman that called from WJR before me is this. I told Marky Johnson, why are you breaking my crayons, man? And he said, you owe me. And I pulled back in my chair, 10 years old, and I looked at this boy and I said, I owe you what? And he said, you're white. Your family owes my family because you people were bad to us. And I
That happened to you in the fifth grade?
Finish my sentence.
We're trying to follow you, honey. I know you're excited, but so this happened to you in the fifth grade. So what's the bottom line, Jody? You feel that you don't owe anybody anything?
I told that little Marky Johnson kid at 10 years of age, my parents, my great-great-great-great-grandparents from six generations back might owe your family from six generations back. But right now, in 1972, I don't owe you anything.
But, Jody, it's now 2014.
In his home.
No, I'm saying, but we're talking 2014. You do know the time has moved on since 1972.
It kills me, man. I am so heartbroken over what goes on in this country. I am so thankful that you have come to WJR. Not because I was a big fan of Hannity or not.
Well, he's not the issue. And don't, now, please don't lump me in with you saying that I'm in favor of children not breaking crayons or whatever.
No.
Jody, are you yourself a wealthy woman today?
I went to Jamaica in 1969. I was
Jody, Savage to Jody. Are you a wealthy woman today?
No, I'm not. I have two torn rotator cuffs, a titanium neck, and I'm unemployed because I got blown up in Oklahoma City.
Oh, wow. My neck just hurt me from that story. My rotator cuff is now aching. Well, Jody, I'm sorry to hear. Wow, that's a heck of a call. This is a chaotic call. It's hard to whew. That's something. No, I tell you which Beach Boys I want. There's one I love. It's I can't remember. My mind got so blown by that call. I got so distracted from the from Jody and the crayons. I didn't know where she was coming from. All I know is that she likes me and the crayons, whatever. I couldn't exactly follow it. And I hope she understood that she was saying 1972. I think, Jody, right? You know it's not 72 now, right? I think she did. Come on. I'm just pulling her earlobe. But I think my point was she's not a wealthy woman. She didn't inherit money from her ancestors. And she's saying, what do I have to do with slavery? I didn't do it. So what do you want from me, is what she's saying. It's a very important discussion to have because I can guarantee you we'll be having it again when this comes up. I can tell you where Obama's coming from. Now, he knows that the Democrat Party's in trouble right now. I don't think that they're politically insane and they're going to bring up reparations now on top of it all, but you never know what this guy could do. Today, he wanted to cripple truck drivers with new fuel standards for heavy trucks. Can you imagine what that is going to do to the trucking industry and the cost of freight? This man is such an academic blowhard, left-winger, doesn't even understand the ramifications of what he's talking about. If anyone on this listening to the show is in business, you ship things, right? And most of what you ship goes by truck. You ask anyone who drives a truck what the cost of fuel is apropos of their income over the year, independent truckers, because I deal with them. I deal with them. You break them by making them pay more for gas, or you break them by making them get rid of their trucks, you're going to destroy the transportation industry in the United States of America. Now, I don't understand how this man could do it when we have no recovery whatsoever. This is the last thing we need to do now. But this is what happens when you have an ideologue in power whose ideology is separate from reality. That's all. What should I get excited over trucks for? Should I get excited over that, too? That, too, should give me a headache. All right, let's go to some callers on all of these topics. KKOB in Santa Fe. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Ex-Sausalito native.
Sorry to hear it.
Found in about 77.
So you went, where are you living? In Santa Fe, up in the Mesa there?
Yeah.
What made you go there? The girls or what?
Oh, no. I'm a Western historian and Western artist, and this is the land of Billy the Kid, so.
Oh, no, because a lot of the really loose women left the Bay Area, went to Santa Fe in the 70s. I thought you were a camp follower. I don't know.
Wyoming first.
Yeah, no, they didn't go there for the history. They went there for the peyote.
We went there for the fishing and the skiing.
Yeah, well, so obviously you're on the other side of the track. So what's your call about tonight?
Well, my great-grandfather's first cousin was Robert Burns. I have a drawing of his tombstone above my desk, and he was killed or mortally wounded defending Little Round Top July 2nd, 1863, fighting for the 44th New York, and they were out of Albany. And I have his induction papers and his death notice.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, I wish that I came from an old Yankee family, which I don't. I'm an immigrant son. But I think any American who has descendants going back to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, should be very proud of themselves. I think what you're arguing is that is it your great-grandfather or your great or your grand? Your great or your grand?
What's that?
Which one of your ancestors are you talking about? Is he was your great-grandfather?
My great-grandfather's first cousin.
Died at Gettysburg, helping free the slaves for the Union Army.
Correct.
And you're saying, why aren't you given reparations?
Well, not only that, Michael, this is a double win-win. Because the South embraced the business of slavery, I know that John Bell Hood's Texans and McLaws' Alabamians attacked that part of Little Round Top. So
let me ask you something. I watch these reenactments of Civil War battles on television an awful lot. I'm very fascinated by it. Are you involved with those reenactment people?
Yeah, I was killed at the Alamo, which was about as exciting as it gets.
Oh God! Well, how do you know which one? Which guys know to fall down after a volley of shots are fired?
Well, fortunately, I was playing at Texan, so we knew we were all going to fall down. So,
oh God, no! But I mean, in what sequence do you fall down?
Well, we had it that the Mexicans, there was only about 60 of them, and as they hit the wall that was supposed to be the Alamo, we would lean over and fire behind them to give the illusion of depth, and then these guys opened up with their 75 caliber Brown Bess muskets into our faces with the burning powder, and I tell you, in reality, the men at the Alamo would have lasted a matter of seconds on those walls.
No, those lead balls were almost incurable. The shot from those guns, it was almost instant death. There was no, they just cut your leg off or whatever. All right, so your point is well taken, which is what about reparations for the descendants of the Union Army who died freeing the slaves, if you want to put it in a simplistic term. And I have told you this before, and I have to repeat it again. The Civil War was more than about freeing the slaves. That was, you don't even know this, but Lincoln did not run in his first campaign for president as an abolitionist. I don't know if you know that. He was a greedy, aggressive, narcissistic, schizophrenic politician like the rest of them. And he latched onto the slavery issue rather late in his presidency. And it was wrapped up with an economic war between the North and the South as well. I don't know if you know that. That's not taught in the schools today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
It is the real America. When you listen to me, you're hearing the real America. This is the America that's no longer allowed to talk when you think about it. You realize that? I'm like the uncle that has supposedly disappeared in America. I'm the Dutch uncle, even though I have no Dutch in me. I don't even know where the word Dutch uncle came from, but everybody had an uncle in the family that they hated, and yet they couldn't wait to go to dinner with him on Sunday. So here we are. There's a lot of other stuff besides what we're talking about, besides the reparations demands, besides what's that called? My brother's keeper only for no white boys need apply. Here are some other stories. John Kerry, who gave a big lecture on global warming in Indonesia, generated 12 tons of carbon dioxide on his trip. He flew from Washington to Seoul to Beijing to Jakarta to Abu Dhabi and then back to Washington. And it ran up to 12.16 metric tons of carbon dioxide, according to CarbonFootprint.com, which uses data from the EPA and the Department of Energy. So that's what he did, lecturing us on global warming. They're insane, by the way. The warmists are, by definition, mental hospital. They're ready for Creedmoor. They're ready to be put into a straitjacket. Whenever you hear them say there's no room for any other science, anyone who disagrees with them is crazy. And they won't look at the science. It just shows you that basically they're just superstitious witches and warlocks. The definition of science is that you're always open to new data. So if this fool, Kerry, keeps hawking you about it in the middle of a snowstorm, is that not proof in a nutshell that liberalism is a mental disorder?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is our number two of The Savage Nation. We got lots of topics, including the demand for reparations by folks living in Jamaica from the British and the Dutch. It's going to spread here again, given all the talk about inequality by de Blasio, by Obama, and the race hustlers. I'm sure this is going to come up. And then we have the most astonishing sound of all, which is Obama going on a basketball player's radio show or TV show, whatever, and talking about a new initiative called My Brother's Keeper, which unto itself is ironic, where only people of color, young men of color, need apply so they can give them the means to learn how to make $35 an hour at jobs while white boys need not apply, which is unbelievably racist. It's illegal. It's a shocker. But then when you have left-wing ideologues in power, they'll do anything. They don't care about the Constitution or equality. They care only about their naked power. That's simple. So here's what I want to do in hour two. I want to change things a little bit because I don't want you to come to think you know what's going to come in the show at any one time. Here's what I want to do. I want to take your calls on the reparations and on the other topics, and then I want to go through all the calls, and then we're going to clean the board off and start again with new topics. But before I do, I want to repeat again in case you missed in the first hour. The ratings have come in about six cities so far, and as you know, my competitor is you-know-who. I don't want to mention his name because you'll get mad at me. But he attacked me personally. He made things up about me. He called me old. He attacked my higher education because he's very sensitive about his lack of any college education whatsoever. And in New York, I beat him by at least 50% on WABC. In Chicago, I beat him by almost 300% on WLS. In Dallas, I beat him by almost 40% on WBAP. In San Francisco, on KSFO, I beat him by about 40%. And in Washington, D.C., I beat him by 2,600% because, well, it's actually much more than that, on MAL. In Detroit, on WJR, I beat him by about five times. I'm not giving you the numbers. It's that simple. This is huge news in the media. Now, don't expect to read it anywhere. Don't expect to read this anywhere. It will not appear on Drudge because although I consider Matt a friend of mine personally, I'm telling you right now it's not going to be covered, even though it should be. It won't be. And that's because there are certain alliances in this business that cannot be broken any more than the Republican Party itself can be, see a fault line. The Republican filibusterers of talk radio are falling apart at the seams. They may say that they're not Republicans. They may claim their independence to follow me. But I will tell you that they're not. They're still nothing but Republican water carriers. And what more do you need to know than the steak dinner right after the State of the Union speech, where he went with his entourage to dinner with Newt Gingrich? I mean, what does that tell you? It's the same old story all over again. So, okay, you've discovered that I'm an independent, and you say, good, now what are you going to do for us? I get it. Well, I don't know yet. Not quite sure what I'm going to do yet. You know, it's not over till it's over, and I keep thinking I'm being called to something other than radio. I keep thinking all the extra years and all of the this and that with all of the impediments put in my way. I don't know, and I'm not hinting at anything. I always said I wouldn't go into politics, but why not? Why not? I mean, there's no one out there. There's no one out in the field. There's not a candidate that I think, there are a few I'd vote for, let's put it to you that way. But, you know, this keeps up. You just don't know where a man's mind will take him. You just don't know. And there's always room for a change in a person's life. So who knows? Because I keep thinking destiny is calling me. And I don't think it's just to be on the radio. Although I love radio, I don't know. There could be some other greater destiny. It could be a worse destiny. It could lead me down a black hole. I had a dream last week. I must tell you about this. I must. You know, I'm working on the third novel of the Jack Hatfield series. And the third in the series is about, well, if I give it away, it's too far ahead. You know, I'm working on a nonfiction called Stop the Coming Civil War. At the same time, I'm working on another, you know, one of those. So here's the thing. I had a nightmare, a couple of nightmares, over the last week. And I have to read you one of the nightmares. I know I'm a little off track. Well, here it is. My character, Doc. Remember Doc? He's the special forces guy who's a friend of Jack Hatfield. So this came to me in a dream, but it was me. But let me just read you the paragraph, because I just put it in the novel this morning. Doc remembered the time he was hunting in the back forest of Northern California and became hopelessly lost, because he tried to rely only on his instincts, not on his instruments like a simple compass. He remembered following a stream down a mountain until it ran into a slightly bigger stream, and he was sure this would eventually lead him to an open clearing and back to where he wanted to go. Instead, he recalled how his heart dropped when the last stream led him not to a clearing but to a wide, raging river, too deep and too fast to cross. The feeling of absolute terror and hopelessness, the understanding in a flash through his bowels that his instincts had led him to a fatal miscalculation. So I woke up in the middle of the night with that nightmare last week, and it was not about Doc, it was about me. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Now, if I didn't have my outlets, meaning my radio, my novels, my nonfiction, I don't know how I would manage all of these dreams and memories and such that I have going on in my Shakespearean brain. It's always been like this, ever since I'm a little kid. I don't drug them, I don't suppress them, I let them rage. But I found a way to take all of them and to apply them to various aspects of my creativity. So instead of me freaking out of what does that dream mean in my own life, meaning have I reached a point where there's a raging river that I can't cross? Well, that's what it meant. Instead of worrying about what that raging river is and how I was going to get across it, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take that dream and turn it into Doc's character getting lost by only using his instincts instead of relying upon his instrumentation. What I'm trying to say with that is, The instincts that we have are good up to a point, but you can't just live on your instincts in this year anymore. Not anymore. I have another character in the book, a gangster called Saul Minsky, a Jewish gangster, who Jack has to work with in order to save America, save not America this time, something else. And you may say, well, why would a hero work with gangsters? So I added this. It was done during World War II when the government worked with the Italian gangsters to find who was sabotaging ships docked on the East River. And let me tell you something else, Jack. In 20 years, you're going to see the recruitment of white Aryan Nation types by whites in gated communities to protect themselves from the armies of Obama's spawn. Now, I didn't say that. A dream said that, and I put it into Minsky's mouth. I would never say that on the radio, because I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe everyone's going to get along and we're all going to sing and dance together, especially after so many years of Obama and then perhaps Hillary. You know the races are going to come together and discover that we're all one human family. You know that. So I'm just saying I put it into the novel to the evil Minsky character. And so that's what I do with some of my worst thoughts, is I put them into fiction. And that's it. That's the whole story. What more do you need to know? The rest you'll hear through the callers. Let's go first to Elliot on WABC, where he says I'm wrong about Lincoln. Elliot, you're up. You have the floor. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Savage, I'm listening to you for years, and you never miss a chance to knock Mr. Lincoln any time you get the opportunity. And in the past, I've heard you call him that he was bloodthirsty, that he was a murderer, he was a psycho.
Well, wait, sir, before you go off on a rip here, do you know what Sherman did when he went through Atlanta? Do you have any idea?
No,
don't do the bagel talk to me. Don't try to overtalk me like I'm in your bagel shop and you got a big yap with an apron. Just shut up. Do you know what Sherman did during Sherman's march under the command of Lincoln? Do you know what he did to Atlanta? He burnt the city to the ground.
Yes, and he watched all the way to Savannah. He cut a swath 120.
Yes, and what did he do in Savannah? What did he do in Savannah, Elliot?
He won the war. That's what he did.
What? Wait a minute. He burnt the city to the ground. How many people did Lincoln put into internment camps? They lived like people in the Holocaust, and there was nobody there speaking for them. They were all people from the South. How many people from the South did he enslave who he feared might cause another insurrection? Is that what you approve of now, internment camps?
Can I talk about Lincoln?
No, I'm talking about Lincoln because you're trying to whitewash him. Go ahead, though.
I'm not whitewashing. I'm just going to give you two examples of that to show you Lincoln's humanity. In 1862, the Sioux Indians went on the warpath, and they were murdering whites up in Minnesota. They sent an army. Lincoln sent an army up there under General Pope to suppress them. They had 139 braves in Mankato, Minnesota.
All right. So what's your point? I don't understand what you're talking about.
They were going to have a mass hanging, And yet you notice that in 1862, an Indian was lower than the Irish, lower than the black.
So what is your point? I don't know where you're coming from here, Elliot.
I'm saying that Mr. Lincoln got involved. They had no political power. This is the Indians. He himself, he took the time in the middle of a war to get involved, and he commuted the sentences of 100 of those Indians.
Wonderful. Now tell me about what Lincoln did by ordering Sherman to leave a swath of death and destruction and fire in the South. How does that jive with what you just said?
I'll give you the second example.
No, you're not. Wait a minute, sir. You know, this is a talk show. Again, it's not your bagel store where you get to splatter everybody with a spritz job and you throw them out of the deli because they don't like your old locks. I'm telling you, answer my question. How do you now jive that with what he did in the South?
Did you have a problem with the bombing of Dresden?
Again, changing the subject. It's not your bagel deli. Elliot, it's not your bagel deli. We're talking about Lincoln. We're not talking about Dresden.
You, it's Mr. Lincoln, okay? Mr. Lincoln. Don't forget it, pal.
Why should I call him Mr. Lincoln? Why? What, is it something you personally? What, are you a descendant of his?
No, he was the greatest president, and he earned that respect. I would like...
From who? From you and who else, Elliot?
Go study some history, and then you can talk about it.
Elliot, please don't talk down to me. I suspect you're a very uneducated man.
I'm very, very uneducated. I want to give you the second...
Elliot, stop. Now we're going to get into a real contest here. Please tell me your college experience. How far did you go in college?
Yeah, one semester at a community college.
Is that how far you went?
That's it, pal. That's it.
So that's why you're making ignoramus statements that only a Hannity could accept as valid.
Oh, I'm an ignoramus. Everybody...
Yeah, all right. Now take a walk on top of it all. I don't like you on top of it all. I don't mind that you're stupid and uneducated. I actually just don't like you. You remind me of the people I ran away from in New York 40 years ago. You're the kind of person I ran away from in my own family 40 years ago because I couldn't stand listening to them anymore. Idiots. Idiots. They go to junior college and they tell you what your PhD field, they'll tell you something in your subject they know more than you. If you have a PhD in nuclear science, they'll argue with you over nuclear physics when they only went to junior college and studied nursing for a semester and got thrown out. We are arguing over something that's very important for you to know, which is that this thing about Lincoln is what we're talking about. And I use him as an example because he is one of Obama's mentors. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You see, this is what I'm... It's not out of the blue. Because I've told you that Barack Obama is the most divisive president since Abraham Lincoln. And I fear he could lead us to a time and place that might even be more dangerous than Lincoln's time. That is what I'm telling you. I fear what this man is capable of. And I fear that the war that Obama may be steering a nation towards could be fatal to this nation. And if you think that I am wrong, you're entitled to that suspicion. Because this administration lives for one reason only, and that's to consolidate more and more power into its own hands. And that is what frightens me. Now, again, I go back to the Lincoln story. Let's start again. Again, let's start with the Lincoln story. It's a very important story. I didn't mean to get so sidetracked with one caller, but okay, if you want to, I've got to find the exact facts because I've been working on this exact subject for my book coming out in October called Stop the Coming Civil War. It's a powerful, powerful book, and it's very important that we understand exactly what we're facing here. When Lincoln is his mentor, we need the full picture of Lincoln. And let me start by saying to you, Lincoln will always be remembered as a great man for having freed the slaves. Let's give him credit for that. But now let's look at the entire picture. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
All right, I've got to interrupt my discussion of Lincoln for a story that's just come out on Politico. Everyone in the media is buzzing about it because the author, Dylan Byers of Politico, sent it around through his Twitter feed, and I may as well give it to you first. Savage dominates Hannity in key markets, they say. Now let's start with the article. I'll read you the article. Sean Hannity has long been right-wing radio's dominant silver medalist, second only to the untouchable Rush Limbaugh. So when Michael Savage's new competitor in afternoon drive time started throwing punches in the hopes of ginning up a public feud, Hannity demurred. But now the first month's numbers are in, and in at least five of the nation's largest markets, Savage is not only beating Hannity, he's trouncing him. In January, in the coveted 25 to 54-year-old demographic, Savage beat and in some cases doubled Hannity's average quarter-hour audience, according to new Nielsen numbers provided by an industry insider. In New York, Savage's program on WABC averaged 9,500 AQH for 25-54, while Hannity's program averaged just 5,000. In Dallas, Savage's WBAP program averaged 3,600 to Hannity's 1,900. In San Francisco, his KSMO program averaged 3,700, almost doubling Hannity's 2,000. In Detroit, his WJR AM program had 4,200, more than five times Hannity's 8,000. And then he goes on, and he says that Hannity has far more stations, which he does, and a larger audience, which he does. I'm new to the market. But in head-to-heads, I beat him. And we'll go back to the rest. And here's what Dylan writes. He says, still the numbers are a boon to Savage, who moved his Savage Nation program to the 3 to 6 p.m. drive time slot after Hannity split with Cumulus last year and re-upped his contract with Premier. The move put Hannity and Savage in direct competition with one another and became an important arena in the ongoing war between Clear Channel and Cumulus. In an email to Politico, Savage attributed the victory to his higher education and the show's attention to subjects beyond politics. He said this, Sean never had any real competition until I moved into drive time, Savage wrote. Sean, being a Republican lifer, has marginalized himself. His audience has discovered what my audience has come to expect over the past 20 years. Obama and Congress are not the sun, the moon, and the stars. There are galaxies of subjects out there. My higher education and homespun humor, bashed by Hannity, apparently appeals to the masses. Okay, there's more. There's more coming. The fight is on. This is the NFL of talk radio. Make no mistake about it. It's my team against the other team. This is the NFL of talk radio. That's what you're listening to.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, thanks for being such a loyal audience. Many of you have been with me since the early days on KGO, then KSFO. I went national in the year 2000, and then I suffered in the minefields of radio, the salt marshes of radio, the malaria-infested regions of radio for many, many years, and here I am. And I'm not going anywhere. This is where I am. This is where I belong. This is where I'm going to stay in my last incarnation of radio, and I hope to make the most of it. However long it lasts is not my, won't be my doing. It'll be your doing, to be honest with you. The audience determines how long a show goes on. You say, well, okay, God could step in. You know, a person could drop dead. That happens. But I've studied death, and I've studied dying, and I've studied stress. And you know what I've come to? It's the opposite of what the medical profession has taught you. It's not stress, per se, that gets a man sick. It's success or failure that gets a man sick. I don't know if you know that. I've studied this. I swear to God, I've seen it. Well, okay, studied, seen, and I swear to nothing. Excuse me. In my primitive analysis of the subject, if a human being is under great duress trying to achieve something, and he or she achieves it, it seems to override the physical deficits that one may think are associated with the stress of getting there. If, on the other hand, the individual struggles and fails, the failure itself can kill him or her. Failure is probably the greatest killer on the planet. It leads people to all sorts of negative behaviors, etc. But unto itself, failure itself is a terrible burden for the human being to carry. So anyway, it's up to you. And I want to just go back to the Lincoln thing. I'm excited today about the ratings that came in because I'm waiting for them. And there's a great burden on me to produce, by the way. This is not a game where ratings don't matter. They do matter. So there it is. And you'll read about it in Politico. It won't make it. It'll be on my website. It'll be on with WND. Where, beyond that, I don't know where it's going to be. But I think it's an interesting article. Now, I want to go back to Abraham Lincoln for a minute. At the outset of the Civil War, Lincoln was not even yet a fervent abolitionist. His first presidential campaign was not about slavery. But if you wade through all of the revisionist left-leaning history books, you might even find he was an opportunist who further divided a politically polarized country simply because he wanted to dominate the southern states economically. So, at the dawn of this American Civil War, Lincoln declared that the South had created an insurrection and was therefore subject to martial law. He called Southerners rebels and insurgents, and he suspended their right to a writ of habeas corpus. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because he is one of Obama's mentors. Under the power he granted himself in this 1862 executive order, a stunning overreach of executive power, Lincoln violated American civil rights with impunity. Did you know that Lincoln is estimated to have arrested and imprisoned some 20,000 civilians and detained them without trials? Did you know that during the Civil War, the Union Army, of which Lincoln was commander-in-chief, kept Southern POWs in internment camps under deplorable conditions? At Fort Delaware, more than 2,000 Confederate soldiers died of scurvy and dysentery in a camp plagued by filth and vermin. Confederate prisoners in the Union camp at Rock Island were reduced to eating rats, and with their clothing and rags died of hypothermia. Some of those who survived were tortured by being hung by their thumbs. Why am I telling you all of this? Because Lincoln was the only president, so far, to order the U.S. military to war against his own people. And after he failed to keep the Union together legally, he resorted first to corrupting the Constitution and then to deadly military force. Why am I telling you this? Because on February 10th, 2007, 145 years after his hero began taking away the rights of Southern Americans, Barack Obama announced his first presidential campaign in Lincoln's hometown of Springfield, Illinois. In that speech, fawned over by liberals as though he was Moses holding tablets, Obama declared that, like Lincoln, he was out to free a people and transform a nation. Well, and like his hero, Obama's agenda seems to be the opposite of his words. Instead of transforming a nation for the good, Obama wantonly uses the power of executive order to drive a wedge into the very heart of American freedom, and like Lincoln, I fear, move us inexorably towards war. I'm going to stop right there. Those are two paragraphs from the prologue to my book coming out in October called Stop the Coming Civil War. End of story. So don't think that I made it up on the spot. I researched it. Now let's go to the callers. Sterling on KKOH. Where is KKOH? Oh, it's in Reno, right? It's in Reno. Of course it is. I love KKOH. I'm one of the people who actually likes Reno a great deal. Sterling on KKOH, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Sir, I'd just like to say congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad somebody cares.
I talked to you several times in the early days. I was living in Walnut Creek, California. I was on my way to be a rock star.
Oh. And what are you now in Reno? You're not a rock star, or you are?
I'm building boats. We're moving to our shop to Nevada.
You build boats in Nevada. Interesting. And what, you ship them back to California where you can't build anymore? And when I start to worry too much, I start writing. And boy, that leads to trouble. So we have another soundbite that I have to play for you. The craziest man in the history of Hollywood is Oliver Stoner. He's made some very entertaining movies. Some of them I've enjoyed very much. I like movies. And of course, he's a left-wing ideologue who's a lunatic, known to be deranged by those who know him, in my opinion. He comes out and he attacks Obama for being too weak and not left-wing enough. You're not going to believe this. Are you ready for this? Listen to clips 2 and 3 back-to-back right now on The Savage Nation.
This is a very, very dangerous place because Obama may be, who knows, you have issues here with Obama. I certainly agree with you. This 2008 election was a disaster. We all thought it was going to be a Democratic turning point. It was not. We know that. And the state, the surveillance state has continued and grown bigger. It was probably as disastrous an election in truth now, looking at it, as the 2000 election was, which was the beginning of a new acceleration of global security. So I'm scared. I'm scared. But, you know, it's a race between us blowing up the planet and climate change destroying the planet, perhaps.
Here's a typical Hollywood idiot. Again, climate change destroying the planet. His stupid friend, Kerry, goes around the world in an airplane that spews more carbon than an average city in America to talk about climate change. They won't let any science enter the debate. And this idiot in Hollywood who knows nothing about science
tells you that climate change is about to destroy the planet. This is beyond comprehension. And so now he attacks Obama for not being left-wing enough when he, in fact, should blame himself. All the left-wingers are wringing their hands about the surveillance state. Why? Because they've all got something to hide. Now, I, of course, oppose the surveillance state. We all do. But they, of all people, the liberals, the ultra-liberal, the uber-liberals, the maniacal liberals, the drug addicts, the sex maniacs, they fear the surveillance state more than you and I do. Why? Because they got an awful lot to fear. But who do they blame for it? They should blame themselves. They were the ones who foisted Obama upon us. So now who are they going to blame? Nixon? Who do they blame for this? Reagan? Who do they blame for this? Barry Goldwater? Who do they blame for this? Jefferson Davies? No, they got to blame themselves. They foisted this left-wing president upon us, and now they're shocked all of a sudden that they're caught in the whores of their own particular creation. What do they want from me? I didn't vote for him. That's all. It's that simple. 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. Any topic is fair game. And let's see. I want more sound. More sound. You know, we can't leave the sound part of the show without playing. I know we did it in the first hour. I have to have Pelosi and the Looney Tunes because it makes my day better. My dog likes it. He rolls over and smiles. Let's play Nancy Pelosi, where everything she says is a Looney Tunes cartoon. Let's listen to clip one.
To go back to our founders once again, they sacrificed it all for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This bill, the Affordable Care Act, is about a healthier life, the liberty to pursue your happiness. That's solid policy, and that is the mandate is central to that.
All right, Bugs. Bugs Bunny couldn't have done a better job. Bugs Bunny himself couldn't have said it more succinctly than Nancy Pelosi did. That the founding fathers sacrificed everything to create this country just so that socialized medicine could be foisted upon all of us and we could pay for the illegal aliens to have a gold-plated health care and for the grifters to have gold-plated health care. That's what they created America for. Okay, well, we'll see how this works out. Get back to me in 20 years. Get back to me in 20 years and let me know how this worked out. Okay, WMAL, Washington, D.C. Washington, Deaf, D.C. David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks a lot, Michael, and welcome to WMAL. Now I got somebody to listen to between 3 and 6. I appreciate that. And sounds like,
okay, well, so tell me what, I saw what's on the board here. Your family owns slaves. I would love to hear what you think about reparations.
Yeah, you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I think we ought to do the math and pay everybody back, and here's why.
Well, hold on now. You're entitled to your opinion, but you are the descendant of slave holders.
Yeah.
So would you be willing to step forward first and give up your property?
Well, you know, if that's what it takes, but, Michael, you've already touched on we've got to do the math, okay? And that goes back to the charge that my great-great-grandfather paid for the slaves, just like any other asset that he had, he paid for it. We got to take into account the amount of housing, the food that was provided, all those things. I am not saying that slavery was not a horrible thing. It was. But my great-great-grandfather took care of his slaves. They respected him. They loved him. He took care of them throughout their lives, even after the Civil War. He fought in the Civil War for the South, wounded twice. They came out en masse to his funeral and gave their respects.
That's an amazing story. But come on, you can't say that the people who were enslaved should pay for their own room and board. I mean, that's kind of ludicrous. You don't mean it anyway. You're being facetious. But, David, let us say you make an intellectually cogent argument for reparations. You're not arguing that all African Americans in America deserve reparations, are you?
No, certainly not. For instance, President Obama, he has no slave blood in him. Why would he deserve reparations?
Okay, so then who is going to be now? Are we going to now become like Nazi Germany and have racial anthropologists who investigate people in the country based on their racial history? I mean, that's what this is going to lead to. It's going to lead to a sort of a Nazism where racial anthropologists would have to be hired to investigate a person's genealogy to determine just exactly what percent of their blood is linked back to slavery. This is a very dangerous area to follow, and that's why I'm talking about it. I see it coming.
Nancy, I disagree with you. I don't think the Obama administration will actually bring this up, and here's why.
No, I think you may be right, But it's coming up in the UN. It's coming up from the nation of Jamaica, bringing it up, saying that Britain and Holland owe them reparations. And I've heard the very same arguments in America in the year 2000. Obama will not bring it up in an election year. He knows it would be suicide for the Democrat Party to alienate the idiots, the independent blue-collar white voter, the morons who fell for him the first time. Okay, they're not going to fall for him a second time. They've fallen from him at this point. That's all he needs now to tell them that they owe reparations. The idiot morons who voted their own death.
That's right. In 2008, when Jesse Jackson brought this up, he was quickly shut down. Said, hey, you don't talk about that, okay?
No. See, no, these are stealthy socialists. They use the cloven method, the cloven hoof method. They do it by degree and very slowly. Anything they do rapidly turns against them. They have a very clever Robespierre behind them. Who is Obama's Robespierre? Do you know who that might be? I know his name.
No.
See, most people don't even know who Robespierre is. But Robespierre is alive and well in Chicago, and he is Obama's, let us say, brain. You know that Bush had Karl Rove. They called Karl Rove Bush's brain, remember?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so there's a guy from the Chicago left-wing wards, a lifetime left-winger, who is in charge of Obama's decision-making, in my opinion. In addition to the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who actually make all the decisions, there's one man and one man alone who is more brilliant than all of them put together. And I'll let you figure out who that is. 855-407-282. We're running smash up against 18 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
All right, trending now on the Savage Nation is discussion about reparations for African Americans, Barack Obama's exclusion of white males, and by the way, females, from his My Brother's Keeper program, which is aimed at young men of color. Notice he didn't mention women. How is that not seen by feminists as absolutely the most sexist thing a president has done in modern history? Am I the only one who actually listens to what's going on? Is that why my ratings are so good? Because I actually listen and see and comment with some degree of reality? I don't read a script? That's one of the reasons. Who knows what else? I'll take your calls. KSFO in San Francisco, where I've dominated my competition in the latest ratings. San Francisco 1.2 to a 0.7. That's right. The show is winning in every city, all the big cities. Nathan on KSFO, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Make quick and to the point. I'm a Mexican-American, and I'm disgusted and appalled at any program that is directed at a certain race or color of person over another, whether it's reparations, affirmative action, or My Brother's Keeper. The programs themselves are racist because they exclude another race or color of people that, you know, we know as white people.
It's also an affront to your dignity, is what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm really hearing, is that you're affronted because he's saying you can't make it on your own. You need Big Brother or Big Sister to help you get a leg up. And you know that it's unto itself very, very, very insulting and demeaning.
It is. That's exactly how I feel, and I don't understand how other people don't feel that way. I'm not handy.
Well, because you were raised probably by very good parents, strong role model in your father. My guess is you were taught self-respect. And so you have self-respect. Unfortunately, you're the anomaly in society today. Most of the kids today are raised to expect the government to take care of them, and that somebody owes them something, and never to accept responsibility. That somebody did it to them. Whatever happens, someone did it to them. If they're caught driving drunk, for example, they can always blame the alcohol company, not themselves. If they get cancer later on, God forbid, you, from smoking, they say the cigarettes did it to me, not me buying the cigarettes and smoking them. If they spill hot coffee on their pelvis while eating a McDonald's, not because they made a mistake or had an accident, it's because the coffee was hot and it spilled it because it's a racist cup of... I don't know, it's crazy. That's what the lawyers did to America. That's what the lawyers did to us. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. WDRC, Howard, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. I wanted to say that I agree with the reparations idea. I have a father-in-law, actually was in a concentration camp in Poland, and he receives a check from Germany. And I think that he should receive the check from Germany. You know, they put him in the camp, and they took his livelihood away from him and part of his life, and now they're making payments. And I agree with us doing the same thing for, you know, anybody that was enslaved in this country.
Okay, and who should pay it?
What I have is, first of all, we have to find somebody to pay first.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And then who's to receive it? Every African-American, even those who were not directly affected by slavery, should be compensated?
No, people that were slaves should be compensated.
Well, what Americans were slaves?
Well, there's nobody left. That's the problem.
Well, that's right. So there should be no compensation.
Well, there should be...
So you've just denuded your own argument.
No, I'm agreeing with your argument that there's nobody to pay. I mean, the idea of the reparations is fine. I just don't think there's anybody left to pay. If they can find a slave, that somebody that was a slave in this country, if they can find somebody that was 110 years old.
All right, well, I think that we've beaten the argument to death, but it's going to come up again, and I hear you. You know. Oh, my God. You're kidding. It's 30 minutes after the hour already. No, it's 27 after the hour. It's 28 minutes after the hour. I could read the seconds going by. You'd listen. That's how good it is. It's 28 minutes and 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 28 minutes and 9 seconds after the hour. It's 28 minutes and 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 seconds after the
hour. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Hot Talk 560 KSLZ.
Exciting initiative coming up called My Brother's Keeper. Explain it, because when they're explaining it to me, it sounds amazing, but I'd like to hear it from you.
We're going
to
pull together private philanthropists, foundations, working with governors and mayors and churches and nonprofits, and we're just going to focus on young men of color and find ways in which we can create more pathways to success for them.
I'm speechless at the naked racism of our president. He is now singling out one race and saying he's going to put out a new initiative to help young men of color. And listen, the name of it is called My Brother's Keeper. It's almost a parody of itself, how obnoxious this is. He told it to some fool on television I never heard of, another bootlicker, that he wants to create special programs only for blacks. He wants to expose young men of so-called color to career options that could pay as much as $35 an hour. And Obama went on to say, did he say more about across the board from the time they're young all the way to their first job, we want to help more young African-American men and Latino men succeed, he said. I ask you, what about the young, poor white man looking for a job? Where are the programs to help the young, poor white man get a start in the world? Where are the mentors and the interns for poor white kids? Martin Luther King Jr. once said, I have a dream that one day children would live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And yet we have a president who is of such low character that he turns Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream into a nightmare and wants to help only young men of color, spitting in the face of, I guess, people of non-color. And then he went off on a golfing trip with a billionaire. After giving a speech on inequality, you're lying, twisted. I can't take this anymore. One of these days I'm going to actually tell you what I think about him. I think that he's demonic. I personally think that Obama is a cold-hearted, psychopathic, demonic man. And I believe he has the worst intentions imaginable for this nation. Other than that, I will spell it out in a long book in October. I'll give you my evidence. It's as racist as it gets. It's right out of Hitler's playbook. Target the Jews? No. Now you target white people. Same mentality. In Hitler's Germany, they needed a scapegoat to blame all of the problems of Germany on, so they picked the Jews. Here, the left-wing fanatics are using people of color as their shock troops to target the white middle class. Any other questions? I have the answers. So he talks about my brother's keeper only for people of color. Hispanics, Latinos, African Americans, but white men need not apply? A president could do a thing like this? And then he goes off golfing at a private golf course owned by Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison is worth $41 billion. Larry Ellison has a house amongst many that sits on 249 acres. It has its own golf course. And so after talking about inequality, Obama goes and golfs with Larry Ellison. And there it is. Then he gives you another speech on inequality and goes to another party or another vacation. And his only friends are the 0001%. And this is what the Democrat Party is the best they can do. It's a party of demagogues and grifters. Now, let me add why I say grifters. Did you hear what came out over the weekend? No, you didn't hear it because it didn't make it to your local worthless newspaper. Democrats who oppose Keystone Pipeline own shares in competing companies. Disclosure documents show that Democrat Tim Kaine and Democrat Alan Lowenthal are invested in Keystone competitors, which is why they oppose the Keystone XL pipeline. And you don't know anything about that. You don't know anything about Kinder Morgan, the Trans Mountain pipeline, the competitive pipeline. You don't know anything about that. And you don't know how deeply gangsterish the Democrat Party has become, because it didn't make it to your local your local party rag. I know how demagogues work, because I've studied them. My most recent studies are about an Austrian who lived in Germany in the 1930s, whose first name was Adolf. See, if I don't use his last name, you'll listen to me. If I say the last name, it kills the argument. People go berserk. Their brain tilts. It's like a pinball machine that tilts. You can't hear any of this rest of the conversation. I have been recently steeping myself in studying a man by the name of Adolf, who lived in Germany in the 1930s. And I found that all of his tactics of divide and conquer, I found out that he had turned the parliament of Germany into a rubber stamp. I found out what he did after he turned the parliament into a rubber stamp. And I am terrified that although we do not have an essay yet in the United States of America, just as the German military had been shrunk as a result of the Treaty of Versailles, and the SA, the stormtroopers, became a force greater than that of the actual military. Did you know that the brown shirts, the Sturmabteilung, SA, was a force of over 3 million men, that private army of thugs under Ernst Röhm, the homosexual murderer? Ernst Röhm was with Hitler from day one. He was a street thug, a tough guy. He happened to love men in that manner. He had a dueling scar, but that was his proclivity. And many of the leadership in the SA were of his, let's say, same orientation. You don't know that as well, but it's part of history. I'm not saying it to offend anyone. I'm just telling you that was their proclivity. And Hitler was afraid of the SA because there were 3 million of them, and the army of Germany was smaller. Now, Obama's been shrinking the military, firing the combat generals, and he promised us back in 2008 that he'd like to create a private army that's just as strong, just as well-funded as the military itself. If that day comes, I'm warning you what's following. And that's why I study revolutions, and that's why I study history, because those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat their history. You hear what I'm just saying to you? Many people in the Nazi Party disapproved of the fact that Ernst Röhm and many other leaders of the SA were, at that time, homosexuals. You don't understand any of that. It's a horrible story, the Night of the Long Knives. But one day I'll tell the whole story here on the Savage Nation and what Hitler did to them on the Night of the Long Knives. Well, how hard is it? They were having a bacchanal on an island in one of the lakes in Germany. The SA was. They're having a wonderful orgy, in other words. And Hitler had the SS cross the lake in rubber rafts, their faces painted. They were the special forces at the time. And they slaughtered hundreds of them and arrested the others. They got rid of the SA overnight. Now he's been purging the military of combat generals and of leadership up and down the line. He's been shrinking the military. Is he getting ready to create this civilian national security force? I don't know. Who will stop him? You? John Boehner? Clink's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? Eric Cantor? Eric Cantor's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? We have a rubber stamp Congress, and we have a power mad maniac in the White House. There is no opposition. You don't think that could happen here? No. Can't happen here, not with Twitter, not with Facebook, not with Instagram. But you see, if you're looking at some sluts behind on Instagram, you're not watching the bouncing racist ball. It's not golf that he's playing, my friends. Make no mistake about it. Over the weekend, he launched a new initiative aimed only at young men of color. White men need not apply. And ironically, it's called My Brother's Keeper. He wants to help young black men and young Hispanic men make up to $35 an hour as youngsters. And white boys can't apply. Special programs only for African-American and Hispanic youth. Now, if you find that to be the mark of a Democrat, then you're insane. That's the mark of a demagogue. That's a divide-and-conquer demagogue tactic. Divide-and-conquer. Every dictator in history has used divide-and-conquer. And he's building up to something much bigger. Virtually anything could happen at any moment. We're all waiting for it. So I think we have a real fight on our hands. And we have to be very vigilant right now. I want to take a little digression for a moment. I was cleaning out a closet. I found something I want to share with you. Many of you will know what some of you will know. I have in my hand a Bronze Star from World War II, which was earned by an old friend named Herbert Sokol. And he gave it to me on a plaque. When I started in San Francisco on KSFO, I was a local host in 90, I don't know the year anymore, 96, 94, 94. I was still a local host by till the year 2000. In 1999, this gentleman who had fought with Patton became one of my greatest supporters. He was a huge man, big, lumbering man. Well, he loved me. And he gave me this plaque with his bronze medal, which I dreamed. I said, where is it? I was thinking about all my possessions the other night because I'm trying to put them together. I said, what did I do with Herb's bronze medal? That's not something to lose. I found it. Let me read it to you. It's one little thing. To Michael Savage, the original compassionate conservative in love and appreciation, on behalf of all your dedicated listeners, for your fearless declarations of the truth on the Savage Nation, KSFO Radio, San Francisco, this Bronze Star, awarded to Herbert L. Sokol, PFC, 115th Infantry, 29th Infantry Division, for his military exploits during the assault on Jülich, Germany, February 22, 1945, is hereby gifted to Michael Savage as his inheritance. Thank you, Michael Patton Savage, Herbert L. Sokol, June 6, 1999. It is really one of my most prized possessions. It's as though he were an uncle who gave it to me. Now, he died soon thereafter. He was a poor man, didn't have much. Some of you listening may have known him. And I only bring this to your attention, not so much to invoke any semblance of heroism on my part, because I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to show you that there are men who understand what's at stake, and they understand what's going on in this country. And he knew it then. He saw the socialism. He saw the socialists. Only I got news for you out there. We've lost. We've almost lost the battle. And I don't mean it's over yet, because nothing's over till it's over. But we're almost about to enter 1,000 years of darkness. There almost has to be a miracle to save this nation. That's how I see it. I had thought the miracle had occurred several times when Obama got caught in the scandals, when I saw the left turning on him. I thought maybe the miracle had occurred. But I haven't seen it happen yet. I haven't seen the impeachment move. The other night I was listening to a communist station here from Berkeley called KPFA. Its entire thing is left-wing fanatic nonsense. And here were two women talking about the fact that, I mentioned this last Wednesday, the U.S. press freedom had fallen to like number 42 in the world. And they were wringing their collective feminist hands over the fact that our press freedoms had fallen so badly that we were now number 42 in the world behind Uruguay. And I was saying, yeah, and I'm laughing. I said, but you girls did it. You girls did it to us. You gave us this man. You feminists were the original shock troops who broke down the white male hegemony. So we have this guy in the White House. And now what? You're complaining that what you created is a Frankenstein? But I didn't say it because I was in the car alone. The left created the Frankenstein that we have. And now they're complaining that our press freedoms have fallen. I was waiting for them to blame Nixon or Bush. You know, but they didn't. They went on and on. They didn't mention the word Obama once. They're in denial of what they've done to this country. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The KSFO.
Little Sam Cooke, to lighten the burden of the Savage audience. Soothe the Savage Beast, the Little Sam Cooke. Honest you do. Well, I read that the president's a TV nut, like I am. He likes many of the same shows I do, probably for the opposite reasons. Like, for example, he's a big fan of Homeland, right? I wonder why he's watching it with such such interest. I mean, I'm watching it to wonder who are the spies pretending to be patriots in our government. He's probably watching it for, well, whatever, you figure it out. You figure it out. Well, here we are rolling into the end of the third hour of your favorite radio show. Yeah, it's your favorite radio show, The Savage Nation. Did you hear about the good numbers? I am really sorry if you were a listener to Hannity, but I beat him in New York City, Dallas, Chicago, and San Francisco by a land mile. And I have to tell it to you. On WABC, I smashed him. On WLS in Chicago, I smashed him. On WBAP in Dallas, I smashed him. On KSFO in San Francisco, I crushed him. Sean never had any real competition until I moved into drive time. Look, radio, even political radio, needs to be more versatile to capture and retain listeners. Sean, being a Republican lifer, has marginalized himself. His audience has discovered what my audience has come to expect over the past 20 years, and that is this. Obama and Congress are not the sun, the moon, and the stars. There are galaxies of subjects out there. My higher education and homespun humor, bashed by Hannity, apparently appeals to the masses. That's it. I beat him in the first major showdown. It was high noon. He lost. I won. Here's the news of the day. In case you missed it, go to michaelsavage.com. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Ex-Democrat congressman arrested after making a porn film in Zimbabwe. Once a close confidant of Reverend Jesse Jackson. I believe that he and Obama had a little crossover there in that wonderful city of Chicago. His name is Mel Reynolds. His resignation from Congress, by the way, opened up Barack Obama's first political opportunity when a then-state senator stepped forward to run for the seat. Just amazing, isn't it? Those of you who voted for Obama, morons, fools, idiots, 71% of Obama voters regret voting for re-election. Did you hear? 71% of Obama voters regret voting for re-election. Why? Well, the left wants him to be even more communistic. Everyone else knows what he's done to damage the country. The fact of the matter is, he's not finished yet. He's got 3 more years. What we all know is that he's not fit for the job. He's narcissistic. He's not educated enough for this position. He's way over his head. And moreover, he's a demagogue. But on top of that, he's in it only for himself and his own aggrandizement. That's my opinion. The 10 most outrageous stimulus projects can be found on my website. Why are so many elderly Asians killing themselves? Oh, I don't even want to go into that. UN report. Oh, North Korea's Kim forced mothers to drown newborn babies. Tell that to the moron basketball player who wears women's wedding dresses, has tattoos from head to toe, and has earrings coming out of his nostrils. His good friend, the basketball goon. Russians threatened to kill U.S. hockey team referee. Yeah. See the interview with Lieutenant Behenna's mother, a story no one else in the media covered. Thank you for supporting him. 11 arrested for serving human meat at a restaurant in Nigeria. What? 11 arrested for serving human meat at a restaurant in Nigeria? Any African cuisine? Anyone care for some fresh African cuisine? Would you like the chopped meat? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? All cultures are not equal. All societies are not equal. But don't tell that to Obama. Meanwhile, communist Venezuela is going up in smoke. The youth see there's no future there. They're rioting. Inflation is out of control. Shortages are out of control. In other words, he's giving to Venezuela what Obama's doing in a minor key. And what is the real party of the rich? Which party is the real party of the rich? The top Dem donors have outspent top GOP donors by nearly $500 million in the past 25 years. I'll let you figure it out. Muslims killed 90 in a Sunday attack on Christians. But why should you care? You hate Christians, don't you? How come you liberals are so psychotic that you'd rather embrace Islam, which will throw you in a well, for your sexuality and your atheism? Why do you distrust Christians more than you do Muslims? What is wrong with you? Is liberalism a mental disorder? Let's ask the question another way. Can you prove liberalism is not a mental disorder? I think that might be the title of my next book. This is The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.